People change jobs all the time, but once in a while a job change comes along that gathers some additional attention. So it is with the pending job change of Medford's Deputy Police Chief Tim Doney. He's got a quarter century of experience with the department under his belt, and that ends in a few weeks when Deputy Chief Doney becomes Chief Doney at the Springfield Police Department. We've asked Deputy Chief and future Chief Doney to join us here in the exchange today to talk about the change. Tim Doney, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
So let's talk about your background. You have been in Medford for so long. Are you actually from Medford originally?
Well, I'm actually a military brat. My dad was in the Marine Corps, and I was born in Southern California, but he was a longtime Oregonian. He came from Chiloquin over in Klamath County. And I have essentially been raised in Jackson County since I was about 3 years old. So I split my childhood between the Upper Rogue and West Medford. I actually spent a good deal of my childhood growing up on South Orange Street, just about two or three blocks from the police department.
Wow, right there in the neighborhood.
Yes.
So this is a big change. Have you ever worked for another police department, Tim Doney?
Well, when I was in college, I worked for the Oregon State Police. I had a position. It was a paid position as a state police cadet. This was back in the mid-'80s, and I worked four seasons for them. It was a seasonal job that was essentially created for college students and to help pay college tuition. And I worked two summers in Gold Beach, one in Coos Bay, and then I also was a fish and game cadet up in the Portland area. But that was all back in the mid-'80s.
And what was it that appealed to you about police work in the first place? I mean, it's been obviously a lifelong career for you.
Well, I came from a family of public servants. As I mentioned earlier, my dad was a colonel in the Marine Corps. I've got two brothers that served in the military. One retired from the Navy. The other was in the Army. Over the course of my lifetime, I think at last count, there's six or seven family members that have been in law enforcement, either currently or formerly in law enforcement. So we really are a family of public servants. My original plan was to join the Marine Corps and be an aviator, but I had a pretty severe case of allergies, and the default position was law enforcement. And once I got started, that began this journey.
So what then prompts the move? Is it 25, 26 years with the Medford Police Department now?
It'll be 26 years in June of next year. Mm-hmm. And this really was one of those once-in-a-lifetime career opportunities that came up. It was a department that's got an excellent reputation. I'm familiar with one of the current captains. He's actually the interim chief right now, Rick Lewis. I met him when I was at the FBI National Academy in 2008. Became good friends with him. He impressed me very much with his professionalism, his personality, and his talk about the department. And throughout the years, there have been a lot of similarities mentioned between Springfield and Medford as far as the communities go, and also between the police department. So when this opportunity came up, I really thought it over, talked long and hard with my family, with my wife, and made the decision to put my name in the hat, and, you know, here we are today.
So were there other feelers out to other cities, or was it really just a case of Springfield's opportunity presented itself?
There were feelers out to other cities. Of course, I'm at a position in my career where, I'm at the number two level, and I absolutely enjoy working for Chief Tim George. He's my longest standing friend here at Medford Police Department. He was actually my first field training officer and coach. He's been an incredible mentor over the years, and I certainly love this community since I grew up in it, and this department is incredible. It's filled with very talented, incredible individuals that I appreciate in the work setting, but many of them are also some of my best friends. So when this particular opportunity came up, it really took a lot of thought that went into it, but I had been looking at other places as well, just because I'm at that position in my career where the next step would be to the chief level, and this worked out, and I'm very excited about it.
Given the close relationship between you and Tim George for many, many years now, he's been with the department, what, about 5 years more than you have?
No, he's I think he's working towards year number 37.
So 30, he's that many more, okay.
Almost since they created Medford, I think.
And you can say those things now because you're not working for him much longer.
Well, after December 2nd, I really can say him, but now I just hope he's not listening to NPR.
I can imagine a mixture of reactions, though. I mean, from for one thing, he's probably really happy for you, but probably a little bummed about what this means for his department.
You know what? He's very supportive, and as I mentioned, he's been my longest-term mentor down here in the work setting. He has really helped shape and mold the officer that I've become. Certainly, there are a lot of other factors that go into it, me personally, as well as influence from my family and my friends, and just you know, the way I was raised by my family. But certainly, we have a close relationship. Because, you know, we've worked together for the past 25-plus years.
Tim Doney is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the deputy chief of the Medford Police and will soon be the actual chief of the Springfield Police. That's not the title, actual chief. He'll be the chief without the deputy in front of it. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we visit with soon-to-be Chief Doney on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 in Springfield or anywhere else around the region. In the Rogue Valley, the local number is 541-552-6782, and our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned that there is an interim chief up there, that one of the captains you know pretty well from the FBI National Academy. Who was the chief who departed before that, though?
The chief that departed before that was a man named Jerry Smith, and I believe he'd been the chief for about 43 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, as far as longevity, Tim George, Jerry Smith, and there was a chief up in Beaverton that was also up in that time frame. So long-term law enforcement officers in the state of Oregon.
You mentioned a good reputation. The department in good shape has come out in some of the news accounts of the decision to move to Springfield. I mean, what is it about the Springfield Police Department that makes it in good shape and is well-run?
Well, I think the real value in the agency is its people, and I've had the opportunity to talk with many of the employees over the last couple of months. They're an employee group that they're very proud of their department, of the organization specifically, but they're also very proud of the community. And I think that's really where they have value. Some things that I'll be walking into is essentially a new facility. About 5 years ago, they passed a bond levy in order to construct a new justice center, which includes a police department, municipal courtrooms, city attorney, and they also have the largest municipal jail in the state of Oregon, which is about 100 beds, which is just under half the size of the Jackson County Jail.
Wow, so that gives you a great ability to be able to lock up the people that you pull in for whatever in Springfield.
Well, it is. It's really crime prevention, so to speak. There is crime prevention in available jail bed and space within the jail system. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk here locally about the lack of jail bed space here in Jackson County and how that has some bearing on crime rates. Because oftentimes you have repeat offenders, and more often than not, when you're really talking about this, you're talking about property offenders, people that are doing nuisance offenses, whereas the most violent offenders, those ballot measure 11 type cases, they're generally speaking, there's bed space for them. But it's not unusual for us to be dealing with people down here in Jackson County and specifically at Medford PD that we've arrested 20 plus times in the last 2 to 3 months because there's just no available jail bed space. And of course, Lane County is no stranger to those same issues. They've got a county jail that has available beds but no funding to completely fill the beds. And so the citizens of Springfield stepped up to the plate because they saw an issue, and they voted for the new Justice Center, including the municipal jail. And my understanding is their property crime rate has dropped about 30% since the jail is open. So that's really a success story. And many law enforcement agencies around the state look to Springfield as an example of getting it done.
You know, I was when you said 20 arrests and then said 2 to 3, I was waiting for the word years to follow that. Months, though? 20 arrests in 2 to 3 months?
Yeah, it is not unusual for us to be dealing with people that get arrested two, sometimes three times a week. And it's often property offenders that are doing nuisance-type crime, shoplifting, disorderly conducts, a variety of things that don't rise to the level that it's a felony crime that they're going to go to prison for. But they've got some type of a substance abuse issue on board. They may have some mental health issues that are untreated. They don't meet the criteria for some type of hospitalization, and ultimately they're a danger to the public, and we deal with them on a repeat basis. Sometimes we lodge people in jail, and they're out before we even have the reports completed. And that's really a sad fact around most, well, I don't want to say most, but many places in the state of Oregon have some of these same issues that we're dealing with. So
the difference then in Springfield with its 100-bed city jail, I mean, how much of that capacity is often used?
My understanding right now is they're running at about 60 to 70% capacity. So there are still available beds. They actually, my understanding is they rent out jail bed space to other local communities in the Lane County area where they don't have the availability of jail bed space at the Lane County Jail. So they're also making money, in a sense, by renting out jail beds. But it really has made the community a safer place. That was really a common theme that I heard when I was going through this process up there, not just from the employees of the Springfield Police Department, but from other city department employees within City Hall, as well as community members on the meet and greet panel that I had. People were quite proud of the fact that they had stepped up to the plate and had taken steps to make their community safer because, you know, really, a police department and law enforcement has an integral part in making a community vibrant, and the ability to grow is based upon people's perception of safety. And if you've got a community where crime is rampant, crime rates are going up, you know, you're not going to find businesses that want to site there. You're not going to want to find families that want to move there. So they're really an important piece in the economic engine, so to speak, for a community as well.
Tim Doney is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's currently the deputy chief at the Medford Police Department and will soon be the chief at the Springfield Police Department. You can join us as we talk about the comparisons between the two cities and what policing is like in each of them. Our phone number is on the exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address, jx@jeffnet.org. You talked about the similarities, certainly in size, between Springfield and Medford. They are both timber towns historically. Any major differences in the character that you sense between Medford and Springfield?
No. You know, when you're looking at the communities in comparison, Medford is about 76,000 people. Of course, it grows during the daytime when you've got business going on, healthcare, retail, things like that. Springfield, their population is about 60,000. They both are based in timber industry, at least they were. Medford has, so to speak, evolved, and I think their economy has really changed, where it's more geared towards retail business, towards retirees, towards healthcare, things like that. Springfield still has a number of big lumber operations going on, so they're probably in a little bit different spot than we are currently. But they've also got two large medical centers. As far as the community itself, the Latino population is growing, much like it is in Medford. I believe Medford's Latino population is about 14%, or that's the estimate. In the Springfield city limits, I believe the estimate is somewhere between 12 to 13%. So there are many similarities. Of course, they've got two rivers that run through the city, the McKenzie and the Willamette. We have Bear Creek, and of course it's duck country as well. So
right, got that going on. But you know, there's a major difference, obviously, between Medford and Springfield. Springfield being next door to a much bigger city in Eugene. So
yes.
What situations and challenges exist for the police department in Springfield, given that proximity?
Well, certainly there are more people. The metropolitan area is much greater. I believe Eugene's population is about 160,000. When you put 60,000 Springfield residents on top of it, the metropolitan area is bigger. Certainly the population and the demographics are different in Eugene than in Springfield. There are a lot more college students. Springfield is more of what I would probably term a blue-collar working town. What really impressed me, though, is the pride that the people I spoke with up in Springfield have with reference to their town. Very, very proud of their community, what the community stands for. And I really have to tell you that in my time up there, when I was going through the application process, the politeness, they really threw out the welcome wagon to all the candidates that applied for the job, and everyone was absolutely welcoming and friendly and very encouraging, and they were really proud of where their town had been, the roots that the town had, but also where they were going. They fancy themselves as a city that caters to families. There's a very vibrant park and recreation district up there, Willamette Lane. They're very proud of that. They just passed a recent tax bond where they're buying a lot of new parkland. There's also a lot of commercial ventures going on right now, too, as well. And, as I mentioned earlier, they've got two large medical centers up there, too. So there are a lot of things going on in Springfield that are very positive, and the people are quite proud of their town.
But, Tim Doney, one of the things that's happened in recent years is Springfield and Eugene did combine management of the two fire departments, and yet it seems like they're not doing that, anything close to that, with the police departments.
No, they're not, and certainly that is an issue that has come up before in a lot of communities. There are some differences, I would suggest, and it's certainly something that I've had conversations with the city manager up there about. But in the fire service, and I want to be careful how I say this because I'm not a full-time firefighter. I have many friends that are. I used to be an emergency medical technician. I actually was a volunteer firefighter, and I fought wildland fires. But when someone calls the fire department, and generally speaking, more often than not, it's not for a fire-related issue. It's for an emergency medical issue. There really is a standard protocol on how someone is treated with reference to an emergency medical incident. And, it doesn't matter how you slice it, what color the fire truck is or the ambulance that shows up, there are protocols that are standard throughout the entire state on the service that you're expected to get and what they need to do. When it comes to police work, it's a little bit different because different communities have different expectations on levels of service. And I would suggest that the level of service that you get in the city of Medford is going to, as far as law enforcement goes, is going to be different than the level of service you may get in a smaller community within Jackson County, and even different than what you would get in rural Jackson County in an area that's protected by the Jackson County Sheriff's Department and/or the Oregon State Police. I mean, when folks live in a city, oftentimes there's an expectation that there's street lights, that there's sidewalks, that there's functioning streets without potholes, that there's a code enforcement element where, people don't have unsightly junk in their front yard or, grass or weeds that are growing, 3 or 4 feet tall. So there are certain things that people come to expect, and there are differences within communities as well. So while there are some common elements on the delivery of police service, there are really many, many areas within law enforcement where the expectation of service is different between communities. And I think that is a problem that a community is going to have to look at if anyone is looking at merging two cities or two different law enforcement agencies together, because there really is a different expectation of service, and it really comes down to what does the community expect.
Difference in culture, for sure, between the cities themselves and the police departments. The what we haven't talked about is the kinds of challenges that exist for the Springfield Police Department that you'll be taking over in December. You've learned and taught, believe me, to a lot of reporters I know over the years, a great deal about gangs in the Medford area. Are they as big an issue, if not bigger, in the Springfield area?
Well, I have, in fact, had an opportunity to speak with folks in Springfield. It doesn't sound, on first look, that the gangs have taken off quite as much in Springfield as they have in the Medford and Jackson County area. I do understand that there is a decent amount of gang activity in Eugene. For whatever reason, on that side of the freeway, there seems to be more, at least recognized gang activity from my conversations with law enforcement folks up there. But I also, with that being said, I have also had opportunity to talk with folks in Springfield that recognize that there is some activity and they don't want it to take hold and grow anymore. So I really plan on taking my connections and things that we've learned over the course of the last 5 to 6 years with reference to gang activity down here, and certainly trying to incorporate some of the lessons we've learned up there, if at all possible. But I also know, too, that the communities are different. There's a different culture in Springfield than there is down here. And so I'm going to have to go up there with my eyes wide open to first learn their culture and their community. So So there are certainly some things that I've learned down here over the course of the years in my career that I think I'm going to be able to take up there, but I have to understand that I'm going into a different community, and maybe they're doing things better than what we are.
That was quite a list you rattled off a few minutes ago, Tim Doney, about being an EMT at one point and working fighting wildland fires. I mean, it's clear that you take a real interest in the field work of whatever profession you're in, and you've been a police officer for a quarter century in Medford now. How stay connected with that field work amidst being the guy in charge of all the administrative stuff at the Springfield Police now?
Well, I think it's really important to get out as a chief, to get out of your office and to actually talk with the line troops and hop in a car with them if possible, or back them up on calls. I think that's important, number one, for that connection between the administration and the folks that are actually doing the job. But I think it's so important for a supervisor to know what their employees are doing. You know, over the course of the years, I've worked for a number of different supervisors, and you have some that make blind decisions in glass offices that really don't know what their decision, what ramification it has on the folks that actually have to carry out the orders and the duties. And I think it's important for any supervisor to talk with the folks that are actually doing the field work. Because I think there's a lot to be learned from that. And, you know, that really is a challenge. The hierarchy going to organization, and specifically in reference to law enforcement, the more removed you get from the actual day-to-day work. And I think it's important that you really have to pay attention to that and connect.
A lot of work ahead. Tim Doney, the deputy chief in Medford, on his way to becoming the chief in Springfield in mid-December. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Good to have you. That'll do it for this segment. We'll take a short break and come back with the Writer's Almanac.